The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "What are people saying the human one is?" They replied, "Some call you John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. I'm not sure if this will deserve to be called a homily. Homily is the new word we've used the last several decades instead of sermon. Sermon was just sort of the minister talked about whatever he wanted to talk about. Had nothing to do with the readings. And the church encouraged us, in fact, to unpackage the readings so that, frankly, you would be inspired and motivated to go home and to study further for yourself. As you know, Catholics aren't very good at that at all. Most of our Protestant brothers and sisters are shocked that a lot of Catholics don't even have a Bible in their house, much less read it. So, I'm going to say a few things from this very significant passage of Matthew 16. Maybe it'll intrigue some of you to go study some of this for yourself. In this particular passage, every line makes a different, interesting point. At least it's interesting to me. I hope it is to you. First of all, he's traveling in the region of Caesarea Philippi. Now, that's a Greek colony in the middle of a Jewish world. So it'd be like if you live in the South Valley, walking around the Northeast Heights, right? Jesus is always leading his disciples into different worlds. He's not just keeping them inside of their little territory. You see, you don't learn much if you just stay around people just like you. We've all got to travel outside of our comfort zone into different worlds than we are comfortable with. And most people, as we see with the state of America today, most people aren't very good at that. They just stay in their own tribe, black, brown, Catholic, Protestant, gay, straight, and they don't know how to talk to anybody outside that group. So there, in the first line, we already have a lesson. Now, if you are following along in the lectionary, you notice that I changed the word that's probably written there. In yours it says, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And I said, "The human one." Because in fact, that's the literal meaning. And I don't know, frankly, why they translated the Son of Man as if it's some exalted title. What we know is that this is what Jesus almost always called himself. He doesn't exalt or exaggerate his own importance, never. He just calls himself the human one. Every man, one just like you. He emphasizes his identity with us, not his difference from us. And I think that's terribly important, that Jesus came to show us how to be human more than how to get to heaven. I'm still not sure what that even means, but that's the way most of us have read the gospel. And notice he takes his cues from who he is, not by his own self-image, we all have a self-image, who we think we are. But if you want a much more truthful image of who you are, frankly, ask the people around you. Ask your husband, ask your wife, ask your neighbors, who do people really think I am? What am I really like? And if they're free enough to be honest, you'll get a much truer description from others than any description you can give of yourself. We're frankly too self-centered to get an objective view. So we see Jesus asking the group, what are people saying about me? Now Simon Peter, the so-called head of the apostles, makes a very strong statement, one that Jesus does not claim for himself. You are the Christ. Now Christ is translated as Messiah, the Anointed One. It's a title. It's not Jesus' last name. As some of you know, I'm writing a book on this very subject right now, so I'm probably sort of adamant about it. Most people think Jesus and his surname Christ, right? No, Christ is a title, and he doesn't claim it. In fact, notice the final line of this gospel. He gave them strict orders to tell no one that he was the Christ. You see, each of us have to discover that for ourselves. He doesn't want you to have secondhand knowledge. Well, Peter says he's the Christ, so I guess he is. No, you have to experience his own power, his own goodness, his own importance in your life for yourself. And we Catholics have too often believed things simply because priests or nuns told us to believe them. We don't have so many nuns anymore, not that many priests. So I don't know what you're going to believe when we're all gone. If you haven't had any experience for yourself, who is Jesus for you? Now, when he comes up with a pretty strong answer, not just the Christ, but the Son of the living God, Jesus does say, blessed are you. And yet he says, you came to this not by logic or reason, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father. You see, this act of trust in God is actually an act of trust in reality. If you don't trust what's right in front of you, I doubt if you'll trust God either. God, you might say, is just another word for reality. Reality with a personality. We give it a name, God. But if you're mistrusting everybody on the highway, everybody in your family, don't tell me you trust God. Because how you do anything is how you do everything. And the word is best translated as trust. It's a decision sooner or later. It isn't a decision based on certitude, that you're certain this person deserves your trust. It's actually, and this might surprise you, faith is the willingness not to be certain, and still to say, you know what, it's okay. I can live with it. It's all right. She's doing the best she can. It is what it is. When you can say it is what it is, and I can live with it and make the best of it, and in fact I'll try to make it better, that's what it means to have faith. Faith, brothers and sisters, is not the opposite of doubt. Faith is the opposite of certitude. Got it? When you don't need to be certain to be happy. If you can't go there, I'll tell you something. You'll never be happy. Because you never get logical certitude, even about your children, about the world, about the Pope, about me, about... If you're waiting for 100% certitude, you're never going to be happy. And so Peter, out of his incertitude, but his deep love and trust of Jesus, says, you are the Christ. You've brought me to a new place. If I can't trust you, I can't trust anybody. And then Peter renames this man who up to now was called Simon. And there's no record of anybody in the Hebrew world ever being called Cephas or Rock, Rocky. He renames Simon Peter, Rock. Piedras, I guess, in Spanish. Huh? Same word. He's saying, on this kind of trust, this kind of surrender, and trust really is an act of surrender, I can build a new community. I can build a new people of faith. Do you know the word church is never used in the four Gospels except right here and actually in the next chapter in our Matthew 18. The word church isn't used commonly in the Gospels at all, because this whole notion of church that you and I have hasn't emerged yet. It's just a trust relationship with Jesus. And people who have it, he says, on you I can build something new. On people of trust, you can do a lot. With people of trust, you can build something new and exciting and creative. And to bring this lesson home, brothers and sisters, I think you and I know we're living in an America where there's hardly any trust of anybody. It creates a lot of fear, creates a lot of anger, creates a lot of highly opinionated people. You see, when you don't have trust, all you have left are opinions. And almost the stronger you state your opinions, you know what? You're less sure about them. When you have quiet trust, you don't need to shout loud. You don't need to beat your opposition down by telling half-truths. You hold the truth of God quietly but confidently in your heart. On this kind of rock, on this kind of people, we can build a new community. And the word church is simply another word that we translate on the Jewish word for community. We are supposed to be this new community of people who do not live on a demand for certitude. We're willing to live in an uncertain world like the poor people in Texas are living today. They thought next week would be just like last week. And now overnight, everything has changed. Brothers and sisters, there's no hope for being peaceful or happy in this world unless we can live with trust in an uncertain world, because God alone is in charge and God alone is good.